Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I am your host, Constance Arnold, and I'm your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Radio Talk Show. And, of course, I'm coming to you live with just a little southern flavor from cloudy Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, as the song goes, it's a rainy day in Georgia. Well, I hope wherever you are that you are creating for yourself a beautiful and prosperous day. Thank you so much for joining me again. Well, I had a very interesting week. I hope that you did also. I am in the process of going through the final stages of my new book, How to Turn Your Mess into a Miracle. So I've been very busy editing that book and getting it to the publisher, and I pray that you had a life-changing week also. And I just want to remind you that every week as you listen to my guests, I want you to begin to implement the wow factor. And what is the wow factor? Within 1 week. That's right. Within 1 week, I want you to choose one area that you want to work on in your life and to take the information that you've learned from listening to the show and begin to take small baby steps. I say that big dreams begin with small steps. Remember that the purpose of this show is to awaken you to how powerful you are and that you are co-creators with God. So just remember that. So this week, I chose as my wow to focus in on my business. And as all of you know, I'm a coach, I'm a speaker, and a trainer. And so I chose to focus on my state of being. And by that, I mean, in the area of my business, I chose to deliberately and intentionally focus my feelings, my emotions, and my words on the success of my business. And the reason that I chose to do that was because I've been granted a big contract with the state of Georgia, and they called me this week and told me that even though I officially have the contract, that they have frozen all contractual contracts because of budgetary constraints. And at that very moment, I knew that I had to make a decision. I had to decide, what was I going to call this? What was I going to be, feel, believe, and expect? So I made a decision that I was going to spend my time this week daily seeing and knowing that I'm already successful. So I saw myself with my new clients conducting teleseminars and the release of my new book in spite of what I just heard. So that's just an example of how you can every day begin to implement the wow into your life within 1 week. So I'm waiting for Dr. Deanna Davis to call in. And she is supposed to be our speaker for today. She is the author of The Law of Attraction in Action. But quickly, let me share with you some of my upcoming shows for the remainder of this month. On May 24th, which is next week, I have Heather Picken. Heather Picken is the spirit trainer. Doesn't that sound interesting? And she is the author of 57 Secrets in Creating Your Ideal Body Using the Law of Attraction. And, of course, on May 31st, I have Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And, of course, if you remember, Dr. Kimbrough was personally commissioned by the Napoleon Hill Foundation to go out and research African Americans and other minorities to find out what were some of the universal principles that they were using in their lives to make their lives successful. And so every week we are endeavoring to bring to you just great quality experts to really help you with your life and really help you to begin to change your life. So I'm going to go ahead and get started because I'm waiting for Dr. Deanna Davis to call in, and I see that she's just called in. Let me introduce her. She is the author of three books, The Law of Attraction in Action. And by the way, I've been reading that book all week, and I have just been laughing because she has such a great sense of humor. She's the author of Living with Intention, and now she has a forthcoming book up called Manifest This. And she believes that the best route to success, satisfaction, and self-care is through a serious commitment and a sense of humor. And I'm with her with that all the way. I think we're too serious. She is known for her blend of humor and how-to, and she merges powerful research with practical strategies for changing your life. So I would just like to personally welcome to the show Dr. Deanna Davis. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
I know it. I have just enjoyed your book so much. So tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself before we get started.
Well, I am the law of Attraction in Action is my most recent book. I am a professional speaker and an author, and my whole goal in life is to help people lead wildly fulfilling and remarkably successful lives on their own terms. And so I do my best to blend the best research from the areas of positive psychology and mind-body health and neuroscience with the very best strategies for how you can craft your experience in the way that you want to, professionally, personally, relationally, in all areas of your life.
Wow, that's interesting. So Dr. Davis, tell me a little bit about your life. Share with the audience a little bit about your life before the Law of Attraction. What was your life like? How did you discover the Law of Attraction, and how has your life changed?
You know, I have always been interested in helping people achieve their very best experience in life. I worked as an educator. I worked in the fields of public health, and in the areas of nonprofit, helping communities become stronger. And what I found that I was really enjoying was the research behind the idea that we can create our own experience based on the quality of thoughts that we put into our mind. And so I started studying that more and more, and I went ahead and got my PhD in leadership, and my dissertation research was on the impact of your attitude on your health. And as I did that research, I found more and more support for the idea that the quality of the thoughts that we put into our minds create the quality of experiences in our lives across all realms, you know, as I said, professionally, personally, in your health, in your finances. And so I got more and more interested in the research side of it. But one thing that I found is that people were having a hard time. People could get the idea, but they were having a hard time translating that into how do I make that work for me? And that was when I was introduced to the movie The Secret, and many, many people were introduced to the Law of Attraction through that method. And what I found is that The Secret gave people a wonderful language and a wonderful concept to talk about this idea of influencing your own reality and sort of co-creating your experience here on Earth. But as I worked with clients and with audiences, what I found is that many of them were going, yeah, I get it, but how do I apply it? And that's when I started sort of having some fun with the Law of Attraction in my life. My husband and I started adopting some of the principles to focus on the sale of our home and to focus on the building of our new home and focus on a trip to Maui that I wanted to take to actually sell this book to a publisher. And that was sort of the culminating moment where it all came together, because we manifested this wonderful trip to Maui and we manifested the sale of a book on the Law of Attraction, all by using the principles that I've talked about in my book.
Wow, and I just love your book. It's filled with humor, but I just love that you have scientific evidence behind the law of attraction. So let's get started with that. Define for the listeners, what is the law of attraction and why is it important?
You know, a lot of people define the law of attraction in different ways. Some people define it based on you bring about what you think about, or thoughts become things. Some people talk about the law of attraction sort of with the imagery of a magnet, that you can draw to you the things that you want in your life. And all of those, none of those things are wrong, but they're not totally right either. I believe that the law of attraction really is about putting yourself in harmony and in resonance with what it is that you want to experience in your life, okay? So the concept of resonance is really what jumped out at me. And I always think about it in the realm of music. So when two guitars are tuned in the same way and they're in the same room, if you pluck the string on one guitar, the same string will vibrate on the other guitar because they're in resonance with one another. They have the same vibration. And so when I think about the law of attraction, that's what I think about, is we want to get ourselves into that space of the feeling place of emotions, the feeling place of what it is that we want to be experiencing more of. Now, that becomes a challenge for a lot of people because we're very much trained in our society to focus on what we don't want and
Absolutely.
What's not. Exactly. So this is really a different way of thinking. It's about thinking about gratitude and about optimism and about positivity and about rational thinking instead of pessimism.
And so how did you put yourself in a state of resonance when you were believing for your trip to Maui? Did you cut out pictures? Did you see yourself on the beach? How did you do that?
You know, and actually we started out in a very, very playful spirit, because this is actually the very first story in my book. I tell about how I came to write this book. And it was a writer's conference that I wanted to attend, and we had recently returned from a trip to Maui. And so my husband and I said, you know, I know that we've been there recently, but why don't we just kind of start playing with it and look for signs that maybe it's possible, and kind of keep ourselves in sort of a fun-loving spirit that we could draw another trip to us. And so we would have just funny little things come up once we opened up our mind to the possibility. Right after we had the conversation, we were driving along the street, and we live in Spokane, Washington, which is far from the Polynesian hub of, you know, bliss on earth.
Right.
And the very first bumper sticker that we saw said, "Live Aloha." And then 20 minutes later, we were at a movie theater, and our favorite Hawaiian artist was singing a song over the loudspeaker. And a couple days later, the featured product at our favorite cafe was Maui potato chips. And we just kept kind of looking at these very playful signs, and we thought, you know, we're drawing the signs to us. Why wouldn't we draw more? And so we started focusing on the resources that we would need to get us there, and the time that we would need, and the business logistics. And yes, we visualized and we talked excitedly about it, but one of the key things is that we weren't attached to it. We weren't going to be devastated if we couldn't go, but when we stayed in that playful spirit, it naturally unfolded. The travel expenses were half of what we normally pay to go there. I mean, unexpectedly. And so there just were a number of things that unfolded because we got into that space of eager anticipation instead of must.
Ah, that's interesting. So how do you recommend that a person create resonance in their lives, which is what you and your husband did?
Yeah, there's a variety of different ways that I talk about in the Law of Attraction in Action, and I think that one of the best ways to start out, and you hear a lot of people talking about this strategy, but one of the best places to start is really to start learning how to be grateful, how to practice gratitude on a regular basis. Now, a lot of people who have been studying the Law of Attraction for a while say, yeah, I've heard that all before. But I come at it from a slightly different perspective, and that is from the area of positive psychology, okay?
And what is that?
Positive psychology is a realm of psychology that focuses on strengths instead of weaknesses, assets instead of deficits. It focuses on how we become resilient in life instead of what's wrong with people and how do we mend them. So positive psychology looks at things like forgiveness and optimism and gratitude and strengths, and it says, how do we build on these resources in our lives? Now, as that pertains to the law of attraction, gratitude is one of the most widely studied parts of positive psychology. And what the studies have found over and over and over again is that people who have a regular gratitude practice, meaning they focus on what's good in their life on a regular basis, are happier, they're healthier, they're more successful, they have better relationships. Across the board, it impacts every area of our life simply by paying attention to what's good right now. Now, as that applies to the law of attraction, what that does is it basically primes the pump. When you're grateful for what you have going on right now, it opens up the possibility of drawing so much more of the same and better to you on any given day.
And so instead of saying, I'm grateful for my car, I'm grateful for my home, you're saying that we should continually be in the state of gratitude.
Yes, everywhere that you can and in every way that you can, but the key distinction, and this is where I believe that a lot of people fall short with their gratitude practices, is that you need to actually feel the gratitude.
Wow.
It's not enough to say, I'm grateful that I have a reliable car. How do you feel when you're in that reliable car because you don't have to worry about it breaking down? It's not saying, I'm grateful that I have a loving family. How do you feel when you look into your baby's eyes and they smile at you? I call it the goosebumps factor.
Uh-huh.
You want to get to that place where you feel those chill bumps down your back. Then you know that you've experienced gratitude. And that's energy. That draws more of the same to you.
It does, it does. And I love how you talk about in your book, quantum physics, the science behind the law of attraction. Share that with our listeners.
You bet. One of the science areas that I talk about is quantum physics. And basically what that boils down to is everything is energy, okay? Whether or not you're looking at your hand or a chair or whether or not you're thinking a thought, all of it is just energy vibrating at different levels, okay? So the reason that a chair looks like a chair is because all of the little molecules of energy are vibrating at a frequency that makes it resemble a chair. Well, the same thing happens with our thoughts. Our thoughts also vibrate, and they have a certain kind of frequency. And so you can see this both from the positive standpoint and also from the challenge or the negative standpoint in that, you know, I think we've all known those kind of people that seem to draw one negative experience after another to them.
Absolutely.
They go from one job to the other where they're disrespected. They go from one relationship to the other where they're not cared for, you know, in meaningful ways. Over and over again, they seem to draw those things to them. And on the other side, you seem to see these people, now they don't live magical lives, they have challenges just like everyone else, but they seem to draw remarkable people and experiences and just different experiences into their lives that are positive and favorable. And the reason they do that is the thoughts that they put out there into the universe vibrate at a frequency that will help them see opportunities, that will help them recover from challenges, that will basically help them manifest their life in the way that they want to manifest it. But it's a matter of consciously deciding what you're going to put into your mind, because that is what puts the results out there into your life.
And so that's why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Is that right?
Well,
because of their thinking and their feeling about their particular situation.
I think that it tends to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the law of attraction in action is very much about the self-fulfilling prophecy. If you imagine that you are, it's always going to be hard to make money and it's always going to be difficult to be in a relationship and this always happens to me, of course, that's what your mind is going to look for. It's going to look for all sorts of evidence to validate that in your life. Whereas if you look for opportunity, if you look for possibility, if you have eagerness and hope and optimism, your mind is a very smart thing. It goes, okay, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be looking for more of this. There's actually a part of your brain called the RAS, the reticular activating system, mm-hmm. that acts like the special file folders on your desk, you know, the ones that you go to the most,
right.
the important folders. And the RAS doesn't care whether or not what you're putting in there is good or bad, or whether or not it makes a positive or negative difference in your life. What it looks at is how often you're putting things into that file. So if you're putting pessimism and victimhood and why does it always happen to me in there, your brain goes, oh, okay, that's what you want more of. I can deliver that for you. If instead you're putting hope, possibility, opportunity, creativity, your brain goes, yep, I can deliver on that too, and I'm going to look for ways to do that.
Oh, powerful. Let's talk about your supermodel, choosing a state, setting an intention, and taking inspired action. Now, let's start with choosing a state, and I love that word choose, because that means that you have a choice. You can choose to either be negative, a negative state, or a positive state. Elaborate on what is choosing a state.
Okay, great. Yes, and the reason that I call it the supermodel is because those three steps together create extraordinary results in your life. So choosing your state, I consider that the most important part of applying the law of attraction. It goes back to much of what we've talked about already, and that is you consciously decide how you want to feel emotionally and where you want to direct your attention. And basically it means that you're going to be taking consistent steps to regularly create a favorable emotional state. By doing that, you're practicing things like research-proven strategies like gratitude and optimism, things like releasing negative beliefs, releasing negative emotions in the way of forgiving people or circumstances that have created pain in your life. It's as much about what you put in, gratitude and optimism, as it is about what you release, limiting beliefs and negative emotions. Now, the key about choosing your state is one of the things about being human is that we have emotions. We're going to get angry.
Right.
We're going to get fearful. We're going to have all of those kind of things come our way. The thing about choosing a favorable state is you decide the meaning. You consciously choose the meaning for anything that happens to you. So when you have a disappointment or a setback or a failure, instead of letting that shut you down and become helpless and hopeless, certainly you feel the punch of it. Anybody would feel the punch.
Right.
But once you feel that, you step back and you say, okay, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to change the way that I'm thinking or acting in a way that will actually impact this situation in a favorable way? What can I learn? What can I take from this?
And so you can choose either the wrong state or the right state. And I guess what I want our listeners to hear is that it is a decision that you have to make. You do have an option as to how you're going to feel and think, even in the midst of very difficult circumstances. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And you see that that's right on the mark. You see this in some of the people who have gone through some of the most devastating losses, choosing the meaning they're going to take. Candy Leitner lost her daughter to a drunk driver.
Mm-hmm.
While that's the most painful thing I think that any human being can go through, what she did is she said, what meaning am I going to take from this? I'm going to turn around and create Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and I'm going to impact laws, and I'm going to impact other people. I'm going to impact communities in a favorable way because I don't want the loss of my daughter to be in vain. Drunk driving will decrease because I went through this. She would never want to experience anything like that again, but she decided what she was going to do with that tragedy.
Absolutely, and with everything that's going on in our country, Dr. Davis, all of the foreclosures, all of the job losses, even in the midst of those devastating circumstances, what can people do? If your house has been foreclosed on, people can still make a decision, can't they?
They absolutely can. And I think that you see that even when you watch the news, you see the stories of the people who say, you know what, these are tough times, and these are the awful things that I've gone through. And you know what? I'm going to start again, and I'm going to create a new future for my kids, and I'm not going to let this beat me. And then you see the stories of people saying, you know what? It's the fault of X and Y, and I'm destitute forever now, and I'm never going to recover from this. Which of those people do you think is going to be happier? Which of those people do you think is going to have a future that helps them feel good and creates a legacy for the people that they love? Now, it's not a blame the victim kind of thing. There are hard things going on in this world.
Absolutely.
But it's a skill building thing. We can all learn how to think differently about our life and our circumstances.
Right, and that's why I chose to share at the beginning of the show how I had been awarded a contract with the state of Georgia, and then they called me this week and said that because of budgetary constraints that they were putting a freeze on all contracts. And at that moment, I had to make a decision. What am I going to call this? How am I going to feel? How am I going to respond to this? And I think you're so right that we always have a choice. That's very
absolutely
powerful. So what are some state shifters if somebody is just sort of down in the dumps or feeling kind of sad or they just went through a breakup? What are some things that can shift a person's state?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, because we talk about probably the easiest one, and that is getting into that practice of gratitude.
Right.
I call state shifters GIGO. You've heard the term GIGO, which usually is garbage in, garbage out.
Uh-huh.
But in this book, I use the term GIGO as good in, good out, okay? So the more that you put in your brain that's favorable and positive and meaningful, it's going to help you produce those kind of results in your life. Gratitude is one of those first steps. And the important thing about practicing gratitude is it's really hard to learn that skill when you're in the middle of a crisis. The best time to learn it is with the little things every day that we tend to take for granted. So the hot shower in the morning and the great piece of chocolate and the smell of the fresh grass when it's just been mown. You know, all of those kind of little things, paying attention to how grateful you are for those, because as it's just like building muscle. When we go to the gym, we build our muscles slowly but surely, and one day they're very, very strong. We build our gratitude muscles in the same way. Now, I would say that the second state shifter that I probably recommend the most is the practice of learned optimism. And learned optimism was coined by one of the predominant researchers in the area of positive psychology, and his name is Martin Seligman. And he actually wrote a book called Learned Optimism, because a lot of people think you're either born optimistic or you're not. So you're either destined for greatness or you're not.
Right.
And what Seligman found is optimism is absolutely learnable. 50% of our ability to be optimistic, particularly in times of challenge, is something that we can learn. And the way that we learn that is to focus in on, basically, optimism is about the stories that we tell ourselves about why things happen in our lives and what we do as a result of that, okay? So an optimist, or let's start with a pessimist. A pessimist, when something negative happens, they will tend to think, oh, this always happens to me. It's going to last a long time. It's going to impact a lot of areas of my life, and it's because I'm a loser.
Right.
Now, they may not use those exact words, but it's because of a defect in me. I've done it again, kind of a thing. An optimist, on the other hand, will say, okay, this is unpleasant, and I don't like this, but this too shall pass. So it's time-bound. This doesn't have to, just because I had this issue happen at work doesn't mean it has to impact my marriage or my parenting or my health. So they're able to kind of categorize it in the area of discontent. And then they don't take accountability for why it happened as a character defect. They look at the fact that there are a range of things that impact why things do and don't happen in our lives. So it's not that they don't take responsibility. They certainly do. But they know that there's a lot of factors that go into why something doesn't go well. So basically, with optimism, you want to learn to tell yourself more productive stories that motivate you to do things instead of shut you down to become helpless. And there's a very specific strategy. It's called the what, why, how strategy in the Law of Attraction.
Okay, explain that.
Okay, and this is actually on page 135. There's a really quick and easy description, okay? So you start out by identifying the challenge or the hardship facing. One of the examples that I give, I recently went back to school to get my degree. I was really excited, but my kids are really, really upset with me because it's taking time away from them. And, I wanted to feel excited about this, and it's just not working out. So that's the challenge, okay? What you do with that challenge is you decide what it means. You use the what, why, how method. The what is you just identify what objectively has happened and how do I feel about it. Objectively, I just simply went back to school and I'm loving it. But that's also changed our schedule. It's changed our time around the house. On the one hand, I feel really good about following my dream, and on the other hand, I feel guilty about taking time away from my family. So you just objectively list how that's impacting things. Then the why is you list an assortment of reasons why this could have happened. Okay, so in this particular case, I guess that my kids just aren't used to me devoting some time to myself because I've devoted 24/7 to them for so many years. You know, I imagine I could have contributed to this because I didn't really think to help them transition. I was too busy focusing on me transitioning. We all did this at the beginning of the school year when they're stressed as well. So you look at the range of whys that contributed to it. And then the how, this is the empowering part of learned optimism. What are some ways that I can influence this situation? So for this example, the mom says, first, I'm going to sit down and talk with them about my school to let them know that I see that they're frustrated. I'm going to share with them how important this dream is to me and how much joy it brings to me. And then I'm going to ask them for their input on how we can all be happy with the new schedule and make it work. Maybe we can brainstorm ideas about how to make it work together. So you see, you're going from this place of fear and rejection and frustration to a place of being able to work together to make something work.
I see that. And a person could take that technique and use it in any area in their lives.
Exactly. It can
Very
be used in
powerful.
Health. Yeah, health changes, relationships, job changes, financial issues. Across
That's
the
powerful.
Board.
Well, let's talk about step two, which is setting an intention. I just love those steps. What is an intention? And let's talk a little bit about the blueprint for intention.
Okay. Well, intention is another word that's used a lot with regard to the Law of Attraction. And my first book, actually, was titled Living with Intention.
Uh-huh.
And in that book, I used the definition from Webster, which says, a determination to act in a certain way, which I like that definition a lot because you've got the determination.
Okay.
Yeah, you've made the decision created this determination, and it implies action. You're going to take action to manifest what you want in life. Now, in this book, in The Law of Attraction and Action, I took it a little bit further and decided that the concept of intention is more than just thinking about something. It's more than just wanting something. It's about making a decision that this will come to pass. It's a very interesting distinction because you can walk into a dark room and want the light to turn on. You can intend for the light to turn on. You can imagine how nice it would be if the light turned on. But until you make the decision to flip that switch, nothing's going to happen, right?
Right.
The same thing happens in our life.
The same unless you make a decision. So a lot of people have been saying that they have set an intention when in fact they've been wishing and hoping. Because they have to make a decision that I want to go and turn the light on, a decision that I want to lose weight, a decision that I want to leave this relationship, a decision that I want to become successful in business.
Exactly. And the only thing that I would say is, even with those examples that you've given, we make the decision that we want to lose weight, for instance. But really, what's a more powerful decision is I want to achieve and maintain my ideal weight. And instead of I want to leave this unfulfilling relationship, which is sort of from a deficit standpoint, say I want to find and be in my most passionate, joyful relationship. And instead of saying I want to quit smoking, we say I want to be joyfully and healthfully smoke-free. I want clear, healthy lungs. Do you see the difference in the power?
It's very powerful. It sounds like your intentions need to be specific, concise, with clarity and descriptive words. Would you say that?
They absolutely do, because what those things do, you use the perfect examples. That conciseness, that clarity, that specificity, it paints a picture in your mind, and that's the way that the mind thinks, in pictures, okay? So you want to make sure that you put every sense into it, and rich, vivid detail. And when you do that, the mind doesn't know the difference. This is one of the most interesting things about neuroscience, is when they do CAT scans and PET scans of the brain, the exact same area of the brain lights up regardless, not your thinking about something in the past, witnessing something in the present, or imagining something in the future. The exact same area of the brain lights up. It doesn't know whether or not it is or isn't happening. All it knows is I'm going to look for additional ways to validate this. So when you imagine yourself succeeding in business and having all of those clients and having that bank account that meets all of your needs and serving the world's purposes, when you imagine that, the brain goes, oh, cool, this is happening. Let me look for more resources to help validate that it's going to continue to happen. It plants the seeds, and then you harvest it with your actions.
Oh, powerful. And I can see why a lot has not been manifesting for people, because they were just right, I want a different job or I want a bigger house, but they have not been specific enough. And so they need to write it, they need to think it, they need to feel that intention, and they need to visualize it and say it.
Exactly, because a different job could be you working in a fast food joint. That's different, right? And not
right.
to say, I mean, because some people, that is their calling. Wonderful. But if that's not your calling, well, that's what you asked for, was a different job or a bigger house. You could add 2 square inches to your house and it's a bigger house.
Right.
What does a bigger house look like? More importantly, what does it feel like? Why do you even want a bigger house? What meaning does that bring? Does that give you more space to play with your kids? Does it give you a nook to practice your spirituality? Does it give you a glorious view to sit and think about gratitude every day? Does it give you an office to work on your ideal career? That's what we're talking about. It's not the it itself. It's the why behind the it that we care about.
Oh, that's powerful. And that's what I did with my home that I'm living in. I knew the area in Atlanta that I wanted to move to, and so every day I said, I will be moving to Vinings in a luxury gated community, and I will purchase a 3-level townhome. And I would drive in this area even when I wasn't living here and walk in this area and say, oh, I'm going to go to this shopping mall, I'm going to be eating here. And so you're so right. I got the feeling of what it would feel like and how my life would change and how I felt I would be more creative here. And it manifests just exactly like you said.
There you go. And
right.
You didn't necessarily know the exact home or exactly what it would look like, but you knew the characteristics and how it would feel.
Right. And I just love that. And your last step, oh, this is my favorite one, taking inspired action. And I just love that word, inspired. Share some on taking inspired action. What does that mean? Because we're just told, take action, do something, move. But I love the word inspired action. Why did you put that piece in there?
You know, actually, this is what I believe is the missing piece from a lot of the work on the law of attraction because
I agree.
There's been some wonderful work done about how you change your mind mm-hmm. and how you set your intention. But again, the rubber hits the road where you take action for what you want, okay? And inspired action is different than just doing something. You know, because there's that old saying, just do it. Well, it's really more a matter of just doing the right thing that's going to move you in the direction that truly enriches your life. And what I call this is, what is my next best step, okay?
I love that. It's so easy and simple. Everybody can do that.
Exactly, because I think that one of the things that shuts people down when they set an intention or set a goal for something that they want is they think that they need to map out a plan. And we've always been told you need to map out a plan from here to where you want to be. And we don't always know what all those steps are. So, of course, that shuts us down and makes us think, well, if I don't know all the steps, then I just might as well not try. That's the definition of pessimism. That's the definition of hopelessness. All we need to know is our next best step, because when we feel that sense of, I can't imagine not taking this next step, okay, when you get to that place of certainty, you take that one small step, and by doing that, the very next step presents itself, okay? It's not arduous. It's not painstaking, and that's the distinction. If you are struggling and forcing and pushing and clawing and scratching, you are not in a place of inspired action.
Oh, I believe now, that. And so give me an example of a person taking the next best step in a particular area.
Okay. Well, I always recommend that the best way to determine what your next best step is that, first of all, you get really clear with your intention. So you put all those images and those pictures in your mind. You get yourself into a really good emotional state of gratitude and envisioning the positives. Then you take yourself to a place of silence, okay? Quiet the mind down. Take a few minutes of breath work or meditation, and you simply ask the question, what is my next best step? The brain has a hard time ignoring questions. And so even if the answer to that doesn't present itself to you in that moment, it will continue to work in your subconscious until it produces a step for you. So a person who wants to start a new career but doesn't know what to do might envision the kind of hours and schedule, the kind of creativity, the kind of lifestyle that they want, and really get themselves into that place. And then ask themselves, what is my next best step? And not force the answer, but maybe 20 minutes later, they're walking by their bookshelf and a book that's been there for 15 years that they've never noticed all of a sudden presents itself and it says, your perfect career in 20 days or
that
something like that.
That has happened to me before.
Exactly. Or maybe you overhear somebody in the grocery line saying, I have the most wonderful company and we've had such a hard time finding somebody who does this kind of work. It doesn't matter where it comes from. By priming the pump, like I said earlier, and asking that question, what is my next best step? Tiny resources, people, things that you haven't seen before will jump out at you. And sometimes they're big leaps. And sometimes they're the tiniest little step. You make one phone call. You do one internet search. So big or little, that's one of the ways to capitalize on it.
You know, and I love how you talk about the art of thinking big and but then taking small steps.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love that. Share a little bit about that. You can think big but take small steps.
I think that that is an absolute magical concoction right there.
It is. My good
friend Dr. Robert Maurer actually inspired that part of this chapter. He wrote a book called One Small Step Can Change Your Life. I cite that in my book. And he talks about Kaizen philosophy. And Kaizen philosophy is the Japanese philosophy about small, steady steps can make huge differences over the long haul. So the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Uh-huh.
That's the symbol of Kaizen, okay? And what research has found is that there really are two ways that people change their lives. There's innovation, which are these wild leaps, something that you just start brand new and make this big, huge jump into something. And then there's Kaizen, these small, steady steps. While sometimes we need innovation, those big, giant leaps, you know, for some people, they wake up one morning and today's the day that they're going to stop smoking cold turkey and they never look back. For other people, and most other people, it's a matter of just making the decision, setting the intention. Talking to your doctor about resources, setting a date to quit, getting rid of the extra cigarettes. Do you see those small steps that lead up? What was that?
I can see those. I can see those small steps, and that makes it a lot easier for people to take small, I call them baby steps, in an area where they may feel very overwhelmed, and you talk about just letting it flow in your book. I love that. Just flowing. What does that mean?
Well, exactly. What I wanted to point out is that you talked about the concept of overwhelm, and that's, well, I consider that the New Year's resolution philosophy of behavior change, is where people wake up on New Year's Day and they're going to change their diet and they're going to work out 6 days a week and they're going to stop smoking and they're going to stop yelling at their kids. And they've made, you know, 50 huge leaps that day. And by about 9 a.m., it gets really overwhelming and tedious, right?
It does.
Which is why 99% of New Year's resolutions fail, is because of that. Whereas, if we step back and we decide to flow with the change, you know, water over time, tiny drops of water can actually etch a canyon out of a mountain. Think about that.
That's amazing.
Exactly. Our tiny little steps that we take every day can etch major canyons out of big goals for us. But it takes the stress and the fear response that makes us shut down. I mean, anybody can get up and march for a minute, and they're more physically active than they were yesterday. And you know what? Maybe tomorrow they march for a minute and a half, and maybe the next day for 2 minutes. It's anybody would look at that and they'd go, well, of course I can march for a minute. But the fact is that research shows that the people who start out by marching for a minute, when compared to the people who get a free gym membership and free clothes and free personal training and are expected to work out 3 or 4 times a week, who do you think a year from now is going to be exercising more and is going to be healthier?
The people who started just walking for a minute.
Exactly. And
I love how you talk about just being consistent with what you're doing, consistent small baby steps. I'm an example of that because I fell and broke my foot at the beginning of the year and was in a cast for 3 months. And so I'm a walker. And so my doctor has me walking 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at lunch, and then 10 minutes in the evening. And so I'm really experiencing what you're talking about right now because I'm having to take baby steps. I'm used to walking maybe an hour a day, but now I'm doing 10 minutes in the morning. So this week coming up, I'll be able to do 15 minutes in the morning, just like you said, consistently.
Exactly. And the same thing holds true. I mean, we sort of take for granted our penmanship or our handwriting, and we sort of forget that it took a lot of time and a lot of practice to learn how to write effectively. If we broke our hand and had to use our non-dominant hand to sign our name, it's not going to look very good or feel very good in the beginning. With a little time, a little flow, and a little practice, it will look good. We need to give ourselves that grace and space to learn and grow. Some of us think that we're supposed to grow so much faster than we do. Look at a baby learning to walk. They don't do it overnight, but we expect ourselves to learn those things overnight.
Wow, that's powerful. So the three steps are choose a state, set your intention, and then take inspired action. And we have
and do it consistently.
Consistently is the operative word. We have about 10 minutes left, and I have so much I want to ask you. So can you share with our listeners, how do you personalize your own plan for manifestation, for living the life of your dreams, et cetera? What does a person have to do?
You know, I always think that it's important to step back and assess your life and your why, okay? Because we get a lot of messages every day from the media, from people that are around us, from the things that we see and experience on a daily basis that sometimes it kind of seeps into our subconscious and makes us think that we're supposed to want this or we're supposed to need that. When in fact, your life is your life and it's going to look and feel different than anybody else's. And so in the Law of Attraction in Action, on page 157, I actually set up a really simple assessment process for you to identify in 7 different areas of your life. And you can do this on your own right now. These 7 areas are health and well-being, body, mind, and spirit, financial well-being, professional success and fulfillment, relationships, fun and recreation, lifestyle, and then contribution and legacy. And in each of those 7 areas, you identify right now, you know, what's my kind of status in these areas? I'm on a range of 1 to 7, from completely dissatisfied to completely satisfied. How do I feel in these areas of my life right now? And then you turn around in each of those areas and you say, what's working in this area for me? What can I build on? What can I strengthen? And then, you know, in general, what's not working for me? So if my schedule right now is really, really pressed and it's difficult and I don't have time for my relationships, I'd put that as one of the what's not working pieces. But if I feel really, really close to my partner and my kids and I get along really well, I put that into what's working. Because it's not, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? You want to make sure that you're identifying the strengths as well as the opportunities for change. And then you just identify in each of those 7 areas, what opportunities do I have for change and where do I feel that pull from my chest, from my gut that says, this particular area, if I make a change in this particular area, maybe it's health or maybe it's finances or maybe, you know, for the first time, I really need to take and look at fun and recreation in my life. You identify just one of those areas to start setting a specific intention and start choosing your state around it and taking one tiny little step each day toward making a difference. And your path will look entirely different than my path, but your path is exclusively yours.
Absolutely. So give us an example of maybe one of your clients who has really successively implemented the 3 steps, choose a state, set an intention, and take inspired action.
Oh, I actually have a wonderful story. And actually, chapter 2 in the Law of Attraction in Action is called Getting Past Groovy.
Yeah.
And I talk about a client who I call Dr. Groovy because his take on the Law of Attraction was, you know, I think there's something to this, but don't you just think it's a little too groovy
right, to
think that we can imagine what we want and it'll magically manifest? Because he's kind of a science geek, you know, self-professed science geek. And he came to me and we were doing some coaching because he was really dissatisfied in his physician practice. He didn't like the people he worked with. He didn't like his schedule. He was miserable every single day. He was thinking about leaving medicine. And what was fascinating is after a period of time when we started working on, okay, well, let's focus on your energy state. Let's focus on gratitude for what you do have. And he was able to focus on, well, I love solving medical mysteries, and I really like it when I'm able to heal people who are hurting. And he started focusing on what was good about it. And I like this person that I work with, and we really have a great connection. And suddenly, his experience started changing. And so when he went to work, he had more energy and focus, and it opened him up to say, okay, what can I supplement my practice with? What might call me in a new direction? And from that place of good energy, he realized that he was really drawn toward learning more about things like meditation and some of the Eastern philosophies and how that might help in healing. And so he went down a learning path with and actually started getting certified in a lot of those different areas. And from the time that we started working together when he was miserable and angry and unhappy to now, he still has retained his practice. He loves his practice, And he has this brand new area of his life where he's a teacher and he's an educator and he's more peaceful and he's happier. And in general, his life has completely transformed because he made a decision about choosing his state, setting his intention, and taking inspired action one small thing at a time has transformed everything.
How exciting. Dr. Davis, we have about 5 minutes left, and I want you to share with our listeners a little bit about your services, your workshops, your book. I was just glued to your book and just laughing. I love your sense of humor in your writing. It's just so phenomenal, but I really like it because you have all kinds of techniques and worksheets and that people can just easily implement into their lives. So share with our listeners about how they can reach you, your webpage, what products you have available, et cetera.
Oh, you bet. Thank you for that invitation. Well, actually, my website, I'll start there because most of my resources are available there. And it's www.deannadavis.net, not .com, .net. So it's deannadavis.net. And on that website, you can learn about all of my books. You can learn about the Law of Attraction in Action and Living with Intention. And we also have some events and some free resources that I wanted to point out to you. First of all, the free gift that I'd like to offer all of your listeners is if you go to that website, deannadavis.net, and you click on the Resources button, there's a program. It's an e-coaching program called The Power of Five. You click on that. It's a $175 program that we now have online for free, and it is the application of the Law of Attraction in Action in 5-minute lessons each week. So you receive a 5-minute audio lesson and 3 pages worth of worksheets to apply these steps every week for 10 weeks. So it makes it very doable in anyone's schedule. Again, it's one of those things like who can't find 5 minutes, okay?
Absolutely.
So go to the website, click on Resources, and enroll in the Power of Five for that free e-coaching program. We've got free, through that, we have free interviews with experts every month. Stephanie Frank, who wrote The Accidental Millionaire, Dr. Bob Maurer, who wrote One Small Step, will be interviewing Marianne Rodmacher, author of Live Boldly and Lean Forward into Your Life. So, and then we also have interactive coaching calls each month. So that's probably the biggest resources that I want to point out to people. We also have a free e-zine that you can sign up for on the website, and you can download all of the worksheets from The Law of Attraction in Action and Living with Intention free of charge on the website as well. Then I'd also, we will soon be posting, so you want to make sure to get on the mailing list. We have our very first Success Summit that's coming up November 13th through the 15th in Seattle, Washington. It's in Seattle.
Okay.
And it is a weekend from Friday through Sunday focusing exclusively on how to enhance your success and how to create extraordinary results in your life. And I'm honored to be also bringing in Dr. Bob Maurer as co-faculty for that event as well. So it's going to be amazing. Make sure to sign up for our e-zine or Power 5 program, and you'll learn all about that. We've got some wonderful resources coming your way.
So, Dr. Davis, give them that website again just in case somebody didn't hear you again. Your website is?
www.deannadavis.net. That's D-E-A-N-N-A, davis.net.
Well, we have about 1 minute left. And, Dr. Davis, what would be the last word or summary of what you would say to our listeners?
Oh, I would tell you, the Law of Attraction works. It simply takes action. That's why the book is called The Law of Attraction in Action. So get yourself into that great energetic state. Create a specific intention for something that's meaningful and important to you, and take one tiny little step each day, that inspired action, and you will create extraordinary results in your life.
Dr. Deanna Davis, you are a phenomenal woman. You are a blessing to the universe. You have enriched our listeners, and I just pray a blessing over you and your work. I really enjoyed your book, and you have really shared a lot of information where we're going to take small baby steps this week in just changing our lives.
Thank you so much for the time. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I wish you many blessings as well.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And for our listeners, I hope that you really enjoyed this session with Dr. Davis. Remember to choose a state, set your intention, and take inspired action. This is Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest, saying to you that if you change your thinking and change your believing, all things are possible. Have a fantastic week, and thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.